Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Baptism is perhaps the most important element of the Christian faith. After all, it is by baptism that one becomes a part of the Christian church. At baptism, those being baptized, or their sponsors if they are too young to answer for themselves, make solemn vows renouncing the devil, all his works and all his ways, and confessing faith in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. These vows are then confirmed in confirmation. And today, we celebrate the baptism of our Lord, which always falls on the Sunday after Epiphany, which is January 6th, just this past Friday. But what is it that makes baptism so efficacious for us? Why is it the rite of entry into the Christian church? What does it do for us? These are all questions that we teach and that we talk about in confirmation, and they come up regularly, especially in preparing for baptism, but it is still important for us who have been baptized to refresh our memory from time to time. So let's start with what it is. If your godchild asks you, what is baptism, what will you say? Well, the obvious place to start is what is baptism? It is a washing. Baptism comes from the Greek word baptizo, which means to wash. So baptism is a washing in water. And so the water and as well as God's word are the two key elements of baptism. God uses the humble means of water to wash away sins just as water washes away dirt. In Matthew 28:19, God combines this with his word, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And so baptism is a washing in God's name, a washing which forgives sins. And in Acts 2:38, Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Baptism is connected to repentance, to forgiveness of sins. Baptism washes away and forgives your sins so that God no longer sees your sins, but only sees you as being cleansed in baptism. And that gift of the Holy Spirit creates and sustains faith in you. In John 3, Jesus says, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. And so it is through baptism that we are reborn of the Holy Spirit, and that faith is born or created in us. Or in Galatians 3, as Paul says, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And so it is by baptism that we receive faith. So this all sounds very amazing, but how can baptism really do all of these incredible things when, after all, it's just water? So when your godchild asks, how does baptism work? After all, ordinary water couldn't just wash away sins like it washes away dirt, could it? The power can't just come from the water, so where is the power coming from? So what do you say? And based on what we know of water, this is a very valid question. It is easy to doubt the effectiveness of water to do something so spectacular. For all, water is something that's normal, it's common, it's ordinary. Even when you are washing with water, it doesn't work all that well unless you use soap. But we are used to water, and we understand water's properties. It's good, it's necessary for life, you kind of need it if you're going to run a farm or a ranch, but There's nothing particularly special or exciting about water. And the water that we use for baptism here, it's not anything special. We get it from the tap. So where does the power for baptism come from? It actually comes from what we remember today, which is the baptism of Jesus. When Jesus is baptized, he takes on himself our sinfulness. And why does he say it? Why does he say this is so? In verse 15, he says, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." He fulfills all righteousness by being baptized in the same water in which the people are baptized, the same water in which we are baptized. In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul sheds some light on this when he says that for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus identifies with us. He takes on himself our sinfulness in his baptism, and he gives us his righteousness in our baptism. So this is what brings us into his salvation work, as we see it in our epistle reading today. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, which happens in baptism, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. That is our place in Christ's work. Christ takes our place and he takes us with him into his suffering and into his death and resurrection. Or then Peter says in chapter 3, Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers, having been subjected to him. Baptism makes us in God's place, makes us in Jesus' place, puts us in Jesus' place, puts Jesus in our place. By his baptism, Jesus fulfills all righteousness for us. John thought that Jesus should be baptizing him, but Jesus took John's place to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus joined us in the waters of baptism, identifying himself with our sad, sinful state, but rather than wash off sins, Jesus' baptism absorbed into himself all the sins that are washed off of us. As the baptismal prayer says, through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. Our sins are washed off of us in baptism. We are washed and made clean. Jesus takes all of those sins onto himself. He is washed and becomes dirty. And then Jesus took all of those sins, all sins, with himself through his ministry, and finally nailed them in his body to the cross. He took our sins to his grave and buried them there. And then when he rose from the dead, he left them in the tomb, arising in righteousness and giving that same righteousness to us. We receive Christ's righteousness, something which happens in our baptism. And now we are freed from sin, cleansed by the waters of holy baptism, and in a right relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. Because we are in that right relationship with God, we praise Him constantly as His children, serving Him by the power of the Holy Spirit whom He sends to us in baptism. Praise God for washing away our sins. Praise God for making us His children. Praise God for giving us His righteousness. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, and to life everlasting. Amen.